Okay, we're up to Simen Vav Halacha Yud. Halacha Yud Simen Vav. Im lo hoya betavshil loy basar v'loy shuman. Okay, Reish Nun Aleph. Okay, Halacha Yud. If you have a dish that does not have meat, v'loy shumin shel basar, ela shemispashel b'kder shel basar, afil lo hoysa mudach asiyofe, mutor le'echol acharav cholof. You have food.
You had a parav dish.
Not parav, fleishik. So if you have parav food that was cooked in a fleishik pot. Right. Food that's parav that was cooked in a fleishik pot.
Noodles.
So
you cook boiling noodles. All the kugels that you buy in a fleishik.
Are you allowed? Do you have to wait 6 hours? Absolutely not. Are you allowed to eat it with milk, mamish? No, that you're not allowed to do. But you do not have to wait 6 hours. This is very common. This is very common. You don't need to wait 6 hours. Next halacha. Now the chiddush he writes over here is the chiddush. He says even if it was not rinsed well. Now you would think that this is only true when it's perfectly spick and span. He's not so makbid. Even, you know, maybe you have a little residue of some basar, so it's bottle, or the takon of waiting 6 hours itself is a very big chumrah. So there are limits to how far you have to go. Maybe it's not bottle. Maybe this it's I don't know, is it really bottle? I don't know. I guess you assume it is bottle.
So l'chayra,
you don't have to make the calculations.
You don't say it's
you don't, that's right, exactly. Because this halach of waiting 6 hours is a very big chumrah. As long as you don't have mamish basar be'en, it's just some residue in a pot. There's no prohibition of eating part of a food that was cooked in that pot afterwards.
Really, you can use one set of dishes, or pots at least, for all parav, milk, food, as long as it's not being, as you clean it out and you don't eat it with the
meat. Correct, that's right, correct. Most people only have two sets of dishes. Do you never have people have three sets of dishes? Three sets, one for parav? That you don't have. When you three sets for parav? Okay, that's okay. Then the parav you could eat with both. Halacha Yidalf, Ochal Givina Mutu Lech Achara Basar Miyad Besuda Acheres. Now here is how Halacha, I mentioned yesterday this chilek between the Kitzer and the Mishnah Berura. It says here in the Kitzer, Ochal Givina, if a person eats cheese, Mutu Lechal Acharecha Basar Miyad Besuda Acheres. If a person eats cheese, you're allowed to eat afterwards, basar immediately miyad b'suda cheres in another meal. Uvulvad sheyivdek yodav im ein shum davar mehagvina nidbak bohem. So you're allowed to eat meat right away. You don't know. You do not have to wait after cholav to eat basar. But the words of the kitzer are b'suda acheres. That thing, that chumri does require. You have to make a bracha acharon. You have to bench. Or recite the bracha acharona, and then you can make a new bracha rishona on the meat. Make sure you don't have anything that's attached to you to your hands. Or you should wash with water. You also have to make sure clean your teeth, brush your teeth, make sure there's no chol that is stuck between your teeth. Now the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah says you are permitted to eat fleishiks after milchiks, even within the same meal. You don't need to recite Birchas HaMozoin and recite the new Bracha Rishayna. The only thing you need to do is to go through the steps mentioned here, is to make sure your hands are clean, to make sure there's nothing in between your teeth, to rinse out your mouth, and you're good to go. Mishnah Berurah is
behind the whole thing.
What to wait?
No, why eating beer, eating milk right after meat is...
That's also 6 hours. Eating...
But the other way, I mean...
Other way, so one thing leads to another. First of all, there is a slight possibility that there might be some cholav between your teeth. or there might be some residue of milk in your throat. There might be something there. So the thinking is, you don't have to wait 6 hours because these things do not last very long. Meat, the residue of meat sticks to your throat for a very long time. It's fatty. And meat has a tendency for particles, the meat is stuck between your teeth. Dairy products do not. Dairy products dissolve in your throat very quickly. And dairy products do not leave particles between your teeth. So you generally do not need to wait 6 hours. But you can't eat it immediately. If you eat it 5 minutes after, then the milk has not yet dissolved in your throat, and there might be particles between your teeth. So you just have to be certain that everything is clean, everything is clear to go. But you have to, how much of a harchaka must one make between eating meat, eating cholov, and eating meat? Do you need to have a significant break, at least have a new meal? We recite Birchas HaMazon, or Bracha Achrona, and then we recite a new Bracha Rishayna. So this disagreement between the Kiddush Shachnach and the Mishnah Berurah. The Kiddush Shachnach is Machmir, and the Mishnah Berurah is Megel. Ravim Hoysa Agvina Kosha. Let's say it is hard cheese that has been aged for 180 days. Tahaydu Shamda Bekeva Vishana Shisha Chadashim. It was soaked in rennet for whatever enzyme you use to make cheese for 6 months. It's hard. That gives the milk the status of meat. It becomes, has that same fatty residue as meat, and you have to wait 6 hours after eating hard cheese. Any cheese that's been aged for 6 months, you have to wait 6 hours. Oshahimu mutulas, or it's wormy. Now that means, now I don't know what exactly this is, but it seems like there are certain types of cheeses which are not aged for 6 months, but after a certain period of time, worms develop. Now these worms, by the way, you can eat. You can eat these worms. Oh, but they're living creatures. It's no worse than drinking copepods in your tap water. Are you allowed to drink copepods in your tap water? Well, some poskim say you are allowed. There's no prohibition because the rule of the prohibition of eating shiratim is only when they separate from their natural habitat. If they are noilat, if that's where they're born in that environment, then there is no prohibition. The only reason why copepods are problematic is because many poskim hold that the copepods first begin to develop when they're in the pipes. And the pipes, according to some poskim, is not considered to be an extension of their natural habitat of the reservoirs and the rivers where they have come from. But if they would, let's say you know for a fact that the copepods were already developed in the reservoirs, and it's just a matter of getting into your cup. Then everyone would agree that you're allowed to drink them. Same thing over here. These worms are noilad. They first come into existence when they are in the cheese, in the milk. You take milk, you pour it into a vessel, you insert enzymes, or you actually take a piece of the animal's stomach, and there are certain other conditions in the environment which cause this type of cheese to develop worms. And these worms are noilad, this is where they're noilad, and they have not yet separated. You're allowed to eat this cheese with the worms, but this type of cheese, being that it already has developed to the point where there are worms, that is a simon that it's extremely hard, or I don't know, hard, or it's fatty. It has a certain thickness to it, which is equivalent to the thickness that one finds in meat, and it would require you to wait 6 hours after eating before eating meat. Okay, next halacha, halacha yudbeis misha achal. Go back to Loch Yiralf. If Rotz Lechel Achakach Machal of Bosser, Tzach Kamhil Hampton Shesha. So Loch Yibes, Mishachel Gvina Rotz Lechel Bosser. A person eats cheese and then he wants to eat meat. Tzach Levar Mel Ashulchan Shir Pash Achal Im Agvina. So besides waiting 6 hours, you have to clean the table. You're not allowed to eat a dish of meat or milk for that matter on a table, on a placemat where you have previously eaten the opposite, the other kind. So you're not allowed to eat cheese on a mapa, on a placemat, on a tablecloth, which you've eaten meat. It's also forbidden to use a knife that you've used to cut meat. Pass, you're not allowed to cut bread. That you're now going to eat with cheese. Because when you take a knife, even if the knife is clean, because when you press down on bread with the knife, this is what's called duchka de sakina. The pressure of applying a knife to a food causes it to emit particles of meat or or milk, and that gets absorbed into the bread. And if you're eating this bread with a different type of food, you're going to have a tyruvis of basar b'cholav. This is the principle of duchka de sakina. Uvishas hatchak, tkoin shu b'derech, and you have no options. Mutu lo lachtach v'sakin shal basar kishu naki, u'mekunach heitev lechon gavina. You're allowed to cut with a knife of basar that is clean, and has been well cleaned to eat lechel magvina v'chein hevach, and the other way around as well. Okay, our next halachah yigimul im chatach masakin shal basar b'tzalim. Let's say you take a knife and you use a knife of basar to cut onions. Onions are davar charif, so davar charif has the power to pull out a flavor absorbed in the knife. Oshar davar charif unesanim l'machal chalav v'lehebach tzach lasa shel schacham. Then you got a big problem. Then you're going to have to come on to bitl. If you cut take a knife that is basar, and you cut onions, so we have to assume that the entire slice of onion is fleishiks. If you put that onion into a dish, now you got big problems. Do we say that the dish is fleishiks? If that dish was milchiks, is there going to be a basar b'cholav problem? Is there bittel? Is there no bittel? When it comes to onions, onions are sharp. The rules of shishim do not necessarily apply. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Was the knife a ben yomo? When was the last time you used a knife? Was it within 24 hours? Was the knife used for hot things within 24 hours? There are many different questions, and therefore, the bottom line is don't use knives that are fleishiks to cut things that are sharp and put them into your dish. Halacha yudal. Let's say you use a coffee whitener. Here the custom was to use shkedim, the milk of shkedim, which looks like milk, almond milk, and you cook it or whatever, and you use it in a meat dish. So this is not called milk, but it looks like milk. So there's a problem of maris ayin. So what are you supposed to do? You have to make it clear that this is not real milk. This is just coffee whiner. Tzarich laniach besocho shkedim. You must put in the dish almonds. That shows people that this is not the real thing. This is not real milk. Bnei maris ha'ayin. Halacha tezvav. Noyagim shlo lagil. That's why you say a little bit of a cup of coffee. You go to a wedding and you're serving meat, and you are having on the table a coffee whitener, so you're supposed to put the container. You're supposed to have on the table some type of simen, or those little plastic things where it has the coffee whitener to make it very clear this is not the real milk, this is only coffee whitener. Let's say you want to switch. You have a pot, and the pot is fleishiks, and you want to use it for milchiks, or vice versa. Are you allowed to kasher a pot to convert it from one form to another? The answer is no. So the halach is, the minig is not to do so. Only b'shas hatchak, it's a hefsin meruba, you have no choice, you can do so. Or, what's the other exception? The other Pesach. Once you're kashing pots of Pesach, then you are allowed to convert it from basar to cholav. Another exception is, if it gets treif.
It up.
There's a question if you're allowed to lechatila make a treif. You're allowed to do that. Then you can convert it.
Why can't you make a treif?
Because he's playing games. It's a trick. The minig is if it becomes treif. It becomes treif. It's not in the spirit of the law. I want to use this for milchiks. So what am I going to do? The minig is not to go from fleishiks to milchiks. So I'm going to make a treif, because the minig is that if something becomes treif, let's say you have a spoon, you have a set of utensils, and they get mixed up, and it's treif. So now, once it's treif, then lechatchila you can kasher it and use it wherever you want to use it. But lechatchila, to use this as an excuse to take something which is kosher, and I'm going to make it treif only for the purpose of avoiding a legal loophole in order to convert it to the other type, that is not proper.
China,
you can't kasher. China is very complicated. Glass, yes. Glass does, mikra doesn't even need kasher. Glass will machmer the kasher. But glass, technically, you can really use for both, for milks and fleishiks, and just clean it out, but will machmer the kasher. But basically metal, but the China, usually, most types of China, you can't kasher. If it's glazed, a very thick glazing, then it's mutter. but if it's not thick, then shayin is cheres. And cheres, no, shayin you can't kash a Pesach. No, you can't use shayin. You have shayin of chametz.
The old times before they had separate dishes, they used to do it.
They used to kash a shayin.
Never.
No.
Glass is
glazed. If it was glazed. Glass, like you have
metal,
a metal, of course. Metal is the easiest thing to kasha. But anything that has some type of clay, earthenware, the base is from the earth, and then they add a lot of other things to it. So then they're different. There's a whole long list of different types of modern. Every day there are new things that come out.
Yeah, Corel or
all these things. So that it's very complicated.
They say that
it's not really earthenware. It's all the different types of hard plastics.
How about something that's pariv that says dairy equipment that you can have once in a while?
Pariv, dairy equipment?
Yeah, something you have
in
pariv, dairy equipment.
So you're allowed to you don't have to wait 6 hours.
Well, you shouldn't eat it with it.
You're not right, you shouldn't eat it with it.
Yeah,
unless...
You can eat it a minute later.
But not with, you should not put it into a fleishik thicker dish. If you do by mistake, if you cook it, you should call it the OU. Because they'll tell you most of the time that there's really no problem. There's no problem. And the reason why it says DE is because...
The OU doesn't use DE.
Not anymore.
They started using DE.
They go back and forth. They're using it now. At one point they used it, then they stopped using it, and they're going back to using it. But a lot of the DE things that the OU puts, that it's a very big chumra. They're just doing the people that are allergic, people that are chamira sakanta yosemesur, someone who is was lactose intolerant of any dairy product, even a mashu shebamashu can be a sakana. So therefore, to protect these people, they write on the product that it's the dairy equipment. But halacha does not recognize such small, teeny amounts. As far as halacha is concerned, it is pariv, and you can even put it lechatchila, you can cook it together with meat. So there are many, many products like that in the market that it says DE, and the only reason why it says DE is to alert someone that will have an extremely allergic reaction to these things. But halacha is not part of that school of thought, and you can even cook it together with meat. But
it's halacha, not kashrus. It's pituach nefesh. You're talking about
chamira sakanta yosem esura. So that's why it says the eve of people that have an allergic reaction.
Yeah, we grew up in school. Peanut shoes. Everyone had peanut shoes. Today you can't walk in.
You can't walk in school. Peanut free zone.
Right.
And who didn't have a Part of America, a peanut butter sandwich. Who didn't have a peanut butter sandwich? It's American baseball and apple pie and peanut butter sandwiches. And today, every yeshiva, peanut-free zone. What happened to peanuts? Those poor peanuts. They're out. Chuslamachne. So DE, same thing with DE. So this is an interesting example of where halacha is much more makel than reality.
This whole story goes back historically to the story that I think it was Landau's, one of the Haredi pretzels, whatever, said that it was parav, and the kid ate it in Borough Park in Leilenu.
Chmalstan, okay.
It was Liebes Chocolate, right? It was. Parav, and it really
had some milchiks in it, and he had it. What happened to him?
I don't know what happened to the kid, but
it changed the whole.
He said, how could you give a heksher and not tell us?
Halach is different.
Okay.
Halach is different, but sakana has its own set of rules.
Yeah, yeah.
So people confuse the two.
The Muslims have a problem. Usually they're soymach on OU, except for certain items. They know the OU. Let's say if it could be
bittel.
Bottle,
but then we're machmer.
No bittel.
No bittel. Okay, let's go further. So again, we have to remember that halacha, as far as converting milchis and fleishiks, you're not allowed to do. The only exceptions are Pesach. Once you're kashing from chametz, then you can do whatever you want. And the other exception is that if it by mistake becomes treif, then you have to anyway kashu it, and you can do whatever you want. Next, halacha tezan, yain ubasar v'chatichas tog shein lo simin, wine. and meat and fish she'ein boy simen shemakpidim shemakpidim oy sholchen biyad oyvit kechavim umikol moko shemafkidim that you send with a delivery boy oy sholchen biyad oyvit kechavim umikol shken biyad yishol choshud. Certainly, you look what he writes over here. Jews are more suspect than goyim. Isn't that a scary thing? What the Kitzur Chinuch says, Jews are worse. A lot of the skin, the kasher scandals, are with goyim, with Jews, not with goyim. The kashrus, the goyim don't know exactly. We don't know from all this. The biggest kashrus scandals involve Jews. Umikol shekain biyad yisol choshet. He writes that right over here. Umikol, and certainly Jews are worse. Choshet tsarich shnei chosamos. So you need two seals. It's not sufficient. One.
One of the okay, just latest letters. He's talking about the mashgiach or whatever sitting, and he hears two goyim behind him talking to him, and one says, is that parable or is it plate? You know, they didn't want to spoil their business. They said, don't you put it in unless you check if it's a parable.
The goyim know. The goyim, because they don't want to get into trouble. They know about this.
It's
mutter. Tzorich shnei chosamos, we need two chosamos. Aval yayin mevushel, so yayin that's not cooked. If a goy touches yayin that's not cooked, it becomes yayin netzach. It's osur. Fish. There are lots of non-kosher fishes out there which can be confused. Today it's very complicated. Today this is a very big issue. It's a very big problem also when they catch tuna fish. They go out into the ocean on these massive ships and they catch fish. So it's inevitable you're going to catch in the nets that capture the fish, you're going to take in non-kosher fishes as well. So what happens? So everything is processed, mass-produced. And it's so something sneak through.
We hope they do.
We hope that things sneak.
That's the machlokes.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they keep it in brine. They have, you know, ice cold.
Yeah.
When they keep all the fish there, and you can keep some tray for fish, and you pull it out later.
In the meantime, the non-kosher fish has imparted its flavor on others. Very big problems. So these are all very big issues. But when it comes to transferring fish, you need shtei chosamos. When it comes to yayin that's not mevushel. When it comes to basar,
tzarich shnei chosamos.
Yeah. The different types of sushi, different types of fish. They're different. It's different. They're different kosher. They're different types. They have to be careful. Fine. Shnei chosamos aval yayin mevushel v'chein chomet shel yayin vinegar v'cholav and milk upas ugvina bread and gvina sagi b'chosamecha. These things. Even though they do need a hechsher, the standard for pas and for milk and for vinegar, these things is less. You only need one seal. So there's a difference in standards. You see a difference in kashrus standards when it comes to things that are more expensive and things that are more complicated. Halacha Yitzayin. Im shalech, im mafkid.
Question. If you go into a liquor store,
yeah,
there's Croatian workers there, and there's wine, obviously, that they pack out on the shelves.
As long as it's sealed, that's considered a double seal. Every bottle has a double seal.
And the bottle itself has a double seal.
Every bottle itself, is there really a double seal in the bottle?
It depends on the plastic cap inside.
One seal.
It has a plastic cap inside before, but some they do, some they don't. But I remember hearing that since it's completely wrapped, it's completely sealed, the way they're packaged today is so secure. It's you can't play games. If you go and you look at a bottle of wine,
it comes right.
But the cap, what you're saying, let's say the cap does not have underneath it that little piece of cardboard, which
no,
but
is a cork that's in the seal.
It's one seal.
Is a plastic.
That's one seal
around the.
But that's only one seal.
That is a seal.
The cap is not a seal. The cap is just a way to open it. Unless it's something which when you open it, it's irreversible. If there's glue, that's what he's saying. That a lot of the bottles today, when you open up a bottle, open up the cap, under the cap there is a piece of cardboard, a round piece of cardboard. Sometimes there's a little bit, some tin foil, which keeps the air out. It's vacuum sealed. That is irreversible. Once you take that out, you can't put that back. That has to be done by a machine. That has to be done in the factory. So that's considered to be one seal. Then when you put the plastic around the cap, that's considered to be a second seal. But not every bottle has a bottle of soda. We don't need a double seal for soda. It's not wine. But a bottle of soda, it only has one seal. You open up the cap, and when you open up the cap, that's it. There's nothing underneath the cap. Your cork l'chor is a seal, because once you open up the cork once, you damage it.
You can't put it back.
So it's obvious that this cork has been taken out.
So what you're saying is better to get a bottle with a cork, because then you definitely have two seals, than a bottle that only has the
wrapping.
Probably
every single bottle that you come in contact has some type of double cement.
You don't need a seal on grape juice?
Grape juice is mevushel. All of our grapes is mevushel, so you only need to have one seal. Only one seal.
But it doesn't have any seal.
What?
It doesn't have any seal at all. You just turn it and then...
It doesn't have the little cardboard?
No. It's grape juice.
Grape juice?
Or it's just a ready cap. Twist off cap.
The twist off cap, yeah. And there's nothing underneath it.
No,
just like soda.
You just
open the cap.
Right, that's one seal. Okay, but that's Yain Mevushel. So Yain Mevushel does not need only needs one seal.
Yeah, have a
double seal. Yeah, yeah. Mevushel, they're all Mevushel. So you only need one seal. Right. Oh, they have the fancy wrappings and the bottles. Okay, so very very interesting. So it does say you do need two seals for yayin that's not mevushel. Mevushel grape juice is always mevushel. Loch yidzan im shlech and mafkid is a davar besak tzarch shiyeh. Now this is something which is not nogeya us. We don't do this. This is not nogeya us. But in old times when you send something in a package, you have to make sure that tzarch shiyeh had tefiros mebefnim ulukasher ulukhasma, that the tefiros have to be on the inside because the stitches are on the outside. Then a guy can easily open up the stitches and exchange it with something else. But if the stitches are on the inside, then it's hard to fake. It's hard to open up. Ulukasher has to be tied. It has to be sealed. Again, we don't with nanogeos because our packaging, we have new technology for different types of packaging. The chickens still have the plumbers. They still can't get rid of the plumbers. How many years been the plumbers?
No more? Only on the box.
Yeah, no.
In other words, no more plumbers on the chicken.
So what do they use now?
It comes only on the crate.
You have this vacuum seal.
You have to go into a
find a chicken with a plumber.
Because Glad Pond packages it, that's why.
No, but they have that vacuum sealed package.
In other words, there was kind of a couple of years.
Yes, every chicken had a plumber.
Chicken had a plumber.
Yes.
Then there was a problem with parts.
Okay.
Put a plumber. Now, the shift of responsibility is trusting the butcher. In other words, he gets a crate. The crate has a seal.
Okay.
Once the crate is open,
let me ask you, so how then when they send, let's say you buy something in a Glatmart and they deliver it to your home?
There's no plumber on the chicken.
So how, and you have non-Jews delivering.
They put something on the box.
The package has a
box. I got the seal.
What has? The box, the cardboard box?
The delivery box.
That's the whole chasima, the plastic, piece of plastic?
Inside I got
it's wrapped,
a thing with a vacuum type thing, and the only way you can is take a system.
I got to look into this. Interesting how things have changed. Okay, I don't know.
We'll visit it tomorrow when Samuel is here.
If something was sent without a seal, you got a problem. You have a problem, what to do? Maker hadin, it's aser. If something was sent by a guy and there was no chosan, you have a very big problem. If the meat is really kosher, relying upon a lot of heterium to find a solution. You test gavinas ushar dvarim shem b'day oiv gachavim alpi shem b'chosam oiv b'tfus cheeses. Even though they have been in a seal oiv b'tfus shem kol shlo yodanu mi chosam asum, you always have to be suspicious that the food you have is not kosher. Halacha chaf ki yesh lo zor shlo levash lo lintzlois yishol v'vukhav m'shtei k'teros oi zo itzol zo, this is not so much nogea in our times, but if you have one open flame and you, it's a communal oven and you have a guy and a Jew are next to each other, you have to be careful that nothing spills from one pot to the other pot, obviously. If the pots or the pans are exposed, not to trust your food by a non-Jewish housekeeper. You have no idea what they're doing behind your back. And it's a very big problem. All the posts can they write about this, that today it's a very, very big problem. People have cannot make a parnasa, both unless both husband and wife aren't working, and they trust their home to a non-Jewish person. And a lot of things go on in the kitchen which are very questionable. And there is no solution to this problem. There's no solution. There's no solution to this problem. People put in webcams in their home. They can go online at work. They can see what's doing. They lose the babysitters, right? They go watch the babies, so they can go watch the kitchen also. Yeah?
I have a question. I've seen two different, like, on these takeout places. Glotmart has one firm man behind the counter.
Yeah.
The other two, I think, are Hispanics. However, in Mountain Fruit,
yeah,
it's purely Hispanic.
So you're assuming that there are Jewish people in the store that are watching what's going on. There's a mashgiach. That's why you have a mashgiach. That's why your good place, a good establishment has a good mashgiach, has a good reputation. Everything that goes on is kosher yosher. You don't let them, before they come into the store, the security check, what are they bringing in behind the counter? So what could they possibly do behind the counter? If they only have behind the counter meat, and they come in empty-handed, so what harm can they possibly do? There's no flame, they're just putting together sandwiches, and if there is an oven, if the Jew is the one who turns on the oven, so what could possibly go wrong? That's the whole kashrus is based upon these things. Halacha Aleph, Mish ein makirin oisog shumuchzak bekashrus, osur liknos menyayin oishar dvarm sheyesh lachash bohem liisar. Person that's not trustworthy, it's forbidden from shudim, miu im nisarach. Now this is a very big finish, which I don't think today we really apply this today. You have an example. Miu im nisarach etzlo oichal imo kol shlo noda lo shu choshut. In the time of the kids, Shulchan Aruch, he said it's false. You have a person who has a store. He has a business. He owns a store. A person. He owns a deli store. And you know that he's not a religious person. You know, I mean, honestly, now you know that he's not so religious. He does things which are very questionable. So such a person, you're not allowed to buy in his store. You're not allowed to buy food and eat it. However, if he invites you to come home and eat a meal at home, in his dining room table, according to the kids of Shulchan Aruch, you can go. You can go to his home, you can eat his food, you can trust him. How could it be? Why is it when it comes to the store, his store, I can't, and in the home? Because business is business. Parnasa is parnasa. We assume a person has a higher, an average person has a higher personal standard than his business. And that's what obviously today, I don't think today any post-it would say that it's true. It's been proven that it's probably the opposite. That in business, you put up a better front. You know, people, they complain, oh, you can't go, used to years ago, you're not allowed to buy any food for Pesach in a takeout store. You can't go to a hotel, you can't because it's not really kosher. All of the stores are really treif. All the hotels are really treif. Instead, you have to spend Yom Tov at home with your family and your neighbors. So the problem is, that might have been true years ago. Now, again, today it's not absolutely true either, but today, Baruch Hashem, there are very high standards, not everywhere, not every hotel, but there are some places, some hotels, the smaller ones, the bigger ones are harder, and some stores that are really kashered, top of the line. They bring in top of the line crews and it's kosher. Everything is done mamish kedasu chedin. Well, the average person in their home doesn't really know what he's doing. Does he really know how to kosher his oven? Does he really know how to kosher his kalim? Is everything really 100%? So today, to a certain degree, it's the other way around. That in certain buying takeout in the very reliable place can be better than making your own food at home when you don't really know what you're doing.
You mess it up when you bring it home.
So when you go, someone invites you to come and eat by them, right? They come eat. They really know, you really can trust, even a person that's very erlich, a person can really trust what's going on. He's very meticulous in his kitchen. Everything is kedas v'chadin. Maybe he may know how to learn a good daf. He can give a good shir. But in the kitchen, is he really, how's his game in the kitchen? Is he really on top of everything? Not necessarily. And yet in the time of the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch was just the opposite. People in public, they had lower standards.
It still makes sense today because it depends, to a restaurant or even to a glove kosher.
Because the value.
When he has a shayla, there's hefset meruba and a rabo
kosher. Okay, it depends, it varies.
But when you were at home, you would never have...
It depends, right. Only a couple of years ago, I was in yeshiva and there were some boys in yeshiva who worked in a hotel. They went to a hotel for Pesach basically to learn the business, to learn the kashrus business. They didn't go for parnasa. I remember one particular person, he went there, and he came back, and he said it was, and this is like a very well-established place for a lot of erlich people and all the big speakers. And he came back with such stories, what really goes on in the kitchen. You would think, horror stories, one after another. And he was on the phone the whole day calling a Rybelski and telling him this happened and that happened, what should I do? What should I do?
Don't go to a hotel.
And so right away, see, it really goes to show that things are not so good. On the other hand, if I ever attend an Ask OU conference, every summer or every other summer they have the OU has a presentation where they actually take you to their different stores behind the scenes and establishments, and they paint a picture that it's top of the line. There's no room for error. Everything is perfect, and you walk away. I went to one of these things, and you walk away very impressed. Okay, so what's the real story? It's probably somewhere. It's probably what?
I understood. I remember one of the.
There are many private hashgachas.
They only give it on one hotel for Pesach. They don't give up on any
hotel. Okay, so I don't know about Pesach. This was, they took us to a couple of restaurants. Took us to restaurants, and at that time they took us to a dinner. They were doing a dinner in the Hilton.
In Brooklyn, you don't see, in Flatbush, there's no OU in this, right?
Right, they stand as, the OU does not give, when I took the Ask OU, they told us that the OU does not give a hash in any bakery.
On M and 17.
Yeah.
It used to be a restaurant.
Yeah.
Caravelle?
No, on the corner. It was owned by a guy. It was an old time. They had our gocha the whole time.
Chinese.
We had a 7-Eleven, is that?
My cousin.
Oh, yeah. Chinese.
Before that, it was owned by... No, we're 7-Eleven next to the bench.
I know
what it is. That was the only place that had OU Ashgocha. They got over it. They gave him a lot of trouble for it.
They told us that they don't give any hashgacha to any bakery. Why? There's no bakery in the whole city that has hashgacha OU. They have restaurants and they have hotels during the year. But bakery, there's not one bakery. Why? Not one bakery in the whole Brooklyn meets their standards. They were very proud of that. What? No, for everything. Mashkiach Tmidi, they had standards for bakery. A bakery. No one meets their standards. Yeah. A lot of things, a lot of shady things go on. Okay, we'll stop here.